Welcome to Grand Farmer, the podcast where we bring together growers and members of the ag tech community to discuss the latest advancements in technology and their impact on agriculture. I'm Andrew Jason, I'm with the Grand Farm team, and today we're so excited to have Levi Otis, the founder of QR Post, and Alicia Nord Donnelly, a farmer and rancher out in rural North Dakota. And we had a really interesting discussion around how QR Post is creating better communication between landowners and hunters, which is a really kind of underappreciated and pretty large problem within the hunting industry. So without further ado, let's get right into this interesting conversation with Levi and Alicia. Awesome. Well, good morning, good evening, good afternoon, wherever you all are at. Very excited to have you here for this episode of Grand Farmer with Levi Otis and Alicia Nord Donnelly. We're very excited to be talking about QR posts. And so Levi and Alicia, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having us, Andrew.
Yeah. So we'll get started with Levi. Alicia, why don't you just tell us a little bit about yourself, a little bit about the background and who you are?
All right. My name is Levi Otis. I'm the co-founder of QR Post, which is it's a land management tool for farmers and landowners to help them manage all the overwhelming hunting requests and other requests that they get. I've worked for Ellingson, which is a water management company, as a private property rights advocate for nearly 10 years. And with that experience of dealing with farmers and what they face every day, I've learned the challenges of the magnitude or the overwhelming hunting pressure that comes on them and their farms. And typically it's in the spring or fall when, you know, they're either planting or harvesting. So we develop QR posts off of that.
My name is Alicia Nord Donnelly. I grew up in the Red River Valley as a fifth generation farmer rancher. I grew up on a purebred Angus operation along with row crops, and then started off my adult career at NDSU. I did PR and marketing, 90% for research and 10% College of Ag, and I thought that's where I was going to stay for the rest of my life, and I was just going to be happy there. And little did I know, 3 years later, I started working for North Dakota Farm Bureau as their Southeast field rep, and that's the job I currently have today. And then also run a herd of Black Angus and Hereford cattle on the side.
Great. And Alicia, you're based out of Sanborn, or close to Sanborn, right?
Correct. The great big little town of Sanborn, North Dakota.
There you go. Well, this could be a good plug. You can be like the tourism director for Sanborn here today.
Well, it'll probably be a pretty easy job.
Yeah, exactly. Great. Well, maybe Levi, you know, you got a little bit into kind of your genesis story with QR Post, but maybe you want to walk through this a little bit more and tell us about how this kind of came about.
Sure. So in the state of North Dakota, we are one of a few states that require farmers or landowners to post their land to require hunters to obtain permission to access their property. And not just hunters, but people that birdwatch, people that hike, people that snowmobile, people that take their senior class out for photography. So if somebody does not post their land with either signs or now electronic posting through the North Dakota Game and Fish site, people are basically at will to enter a farmer's property and mostly what's done is hunt. And over the years, there's been a lot of posting bills, and North Dakota Farm Bureau, coincidentally, has led the charge on trying to stiffen up the requirements of what it takes to get on somebody's private property. My work within the water industry, I spent a lot of time in Bismarck, North Dakota, working on legislative affairs for our customers, and through that I learned a lot of the pain points through the farmers of why they want people to request permission to access their property, or why maybe they don't want somebody on their property, and vice versa, of the pains that hunters go through trying to get on people's private property, not just in North Dakota, but around the country. A state like Minnesota doesn't require posting of your land, so people can't just go on it. But then they call you, or they stop and knock on your door, and so there is a lot of hunting pressure in states, especially the western states, where animals are abundant. I'm sure it's the same in the I states, as we get a lot of customers coming from Illinois, Iowa, Indiana. That's I guess, to answer your question, that's the genesis of listening to two sides. They're trying to achieve the same thing, just going about it neither way that the other would like. So we're just bridging that communication gap, but strictly building this for the farmer, which coincidentally is going to make it easier for the hunter to request. It's just on the choice of the farmer of how he's going to be receiving those requests.
Sure. So that's very interesting. So North Dakota, Minnesota, where else are you guys based out of right now, or where do you have land available?
Well, we've got land posted in Maine, Mississippi. I should pull up my map. Kansas and Nebraska, I think we've got a couple customers that have ordered signs. Really heavy in North Dakota. Actually, just 2 days ago, we had a customer reach out and wants us to help him with his 20,000 acres. I think that's going to put us right at or plus or minus 100,000 acres total. So I was pretty excited to get that phone call saying, I've got a lot of land and I'm going to need help doing this. So obviously we oblige.
Yeah. Well, I'm always curious, kind of, so you got a two-sided marketplace, right? You have your farmers that you're serving, or they're the landowners, and then you also have the hunters. And so without one, the other one's kind of useless. Who do you need more right now? Do you need more hunters using it? Do you need more landowners?
Well, there's plenty of apps out there for hunters. You know, there's a dozen apps that help hunters find out who the private property private property owner is. QR Post, I think, is the only one out there for the farmer, for the landowner, to help them choose how they're being communicated with. And so we are right now farmer focused, and that's who we want. You sign up your acres with us, and the rest will follow, but it just gives them the ability to choose.
That makes sense. Well, Alicia, would love to just to get your thoughts on this. It sounds like the Farm Bureau is aware of this challenge in North Dakota, and I guess just would love your thoughts on kind of the business model and the challenge that Levi's talking about.
Absolutely. So I'll just kind of talk on, not really on behalf of Farm Bureau, but just more on myself, since I am a hunter and also a landowner. I have a very unique position where I can see both sides of it. And this hasn't, like Levi said, you know, this isn't a problem that just stemmed overnight. It's been an issue for many, many years. And it's kind of just come to a head where I think people finally realize, hey, we need to actually do something about this problem. And I think we can all agree that the main problem is communication. And just like anything, whether it's, you know, in your personal life or at work, and there's conflict happening, it usually will stem back to the lack of communication. And so I think this is great. And hopefully more people do start using it, because it really is about the safety of both sides too. Just so many things can go wrong now. And I hate to say it, but everybody's suing everybody over everything. And it can be something so small, and it's honestly kind of ridiculous. So this is about also protecting both sides, protecting the farmer rancher if someone were to get hurt on their property, were to hurt their livestock by accident, and then also that hiker or hunter, whoever is out there, also protects them, because of course we want them to be safe, and we want them to be aware of, you know, where we might have traps set, or where there's barbed wire fence where they think that they can go through it, and then they try to and they get hurt. So this is really about protecting both sides as well. So that's why I'm really excited that Levi came up with QR posts and that more people are hearing about it. And hopefully with this next hunting season, we get even more people excited to use it and kind of smoothen out the entire process.
Yeah, to add to what Alicia's saying, so one of the things that we hear from farmers a lot is, I don't want to get sued if somebody gets hurt on our property. And there are protections within the state of North Dakota. Now, I don't know all the protections of every state and how they protect farmers from somebody being hurt on their property, but we have built in a liability waiver so that when you scan the QR code and you ask permission, and somebody like Alicia gives you permission and it says you're approved to hunt a piece of property, you have to acknowledge the liability waiver that a law firm in Fargo has drafted. Now, as a landowner, you actually have the ability to have your own lawyer draft a liability waiver that can easily be uploaded into your own account and give you some added protection right above what the state is doing. And she's absolutely right about the safety piece, because we've got a number of customers that say, I give permission to this guy, you know, I don't even remember what farm I gave him permission on. And then another guy calls and says he wants to take his hunting party out there. Now, all of a sudden, the early bird gets the worm. Well, you've got a group of hunters that are already in the field, and now another guy shows up because I gave permission. Now they're hunting the same field, and they don't even know it. And now it comes back on me because, oh, geez, you gave him permission. You gave us permission. And now farmers are in the middle of hunting disputes, and they don't want anything to do with it. And so part of that process is, it'll tell you when somebody is on that farm. And if the hunter only wants, or if the farmer only wants one party out there at a time, he could say no more than one party. And so if somebody else comes along and scans the sign, it will say, sorry, this field is taken for the day. And it provides receipts to each hunting party, so they have permission for that day only, not getting permission for today and then next week coming back and say, well, you gave me permission. Well, now you could say, well, let me see your receipt. No, that was for Tuesday or Thursday, May 4th, right? Not May 8th. And so we're just really trying to button down the I don't want to say, I don't want to say they do it on purpose, but sometimes you give somebody permission for a day and they take the whole year.
Yeah.
So.
It's the old, I have a 2-year-old. It's the old, if you give a moose a muffin, right? So,
yep.
Yeah, very familiar with that book lately these days. Well, great. Well, I am curious a little bit about the business model and then also what this kind of means for kind of revenue generation for the farmers themselves, because I think that is a really important model with that. So maybe Levi, can you talk about kind of the business model with this? And then Alicia, I got a couple of questions on that for you.
Yeah, absolutely. So our signs are made here in North Dakota. That's our home base. So a company called Short Printer manufactures them for us. So when you go on and you order the sign, it shoots, you pay us, and it's instantly sent to Short Printer. It's kicked out within 2-3 days and shipped to wherever you ordered it to. So we do make some money off of the signs, not a lot, because we're trying to be as cheap as possible. I think they're $19.99, the polymetal no fade ink, and then our vinyl signs are $6.99, or maybe they're $5.99, somewhere in that range. So pretty low cost for what you're getting out of it. And then we do not charge a subscription fee to farmers at all. We do not charge a startup fee. Now, if you ask me to do the work for you, I might charge you a few bucks, but we do not charge anything to the landowners, which seems silly, but for us, it's just, I guess we could, but let's just get using it. And where we make most of our money is if somebody charges. And so if you charge $50, the farmer will get $5. So we take 10% of that, and then the hunter themselves will pay $55, so they're going to pay us a little bit of a service fee. Now, that being said, people think that farmers, you know, they just want to, they're getting greedy and they want to charge. 85% of our customers do not charge. We have zero customers that charge anybody under the age of 18. And the most I think anybody is charging is $30. And when I asked the farmer from Milner why he was charging $30, he said, because it costs $50 to golf. He said, people give me grief, you know, oh, I get subsidies, so I should get, they should get to hunt my land. Well, we all pay taxes and we still pay Fargo Parks, you know, $50 to golf course. So I think that's a fair assessment. Now, the reason he charges the $30 is because people have skin in the game. You know, if they really want to hunt it, they pay the $30. He uses it for beer money for his shop and his hired men. I think that's kind of cool. So that's the model. And for us, there's going to be power in the data, having more landowners sign up and more accessibility. So QR Post is in it for the long game and to help the solutions. We're private property rights guys, and we're 2A advocates. And without hunters, Second Amendment does see a lot of issues for going forward. So we're just trying to bridge that communication gap, as Alicia alluded to.
Yeah, that makes sense. And Alicia, maybe going back to the liability concern, you know, as a landowner, Do you have people that have you experienced this challenge? Do you have people that hunt on your land? And then two, I guess from the liability standpoint, would love your thoughts on that.
Yeah. So I think it's, you know, whether you are a landowner in the farming and ranching or a landowner somewhere else where it's, you know, more of a business or you have a shop, it's just, you're always so worried about somebody getting hurt or, you know, I guess that's kind of the main thing, because there's lots of things that can go wrong, you know, vandalism, all that kind of stuff. But you really, the main concern is just somebody getting hurt on your property. And I think from the hunter perspective, it's like, we're safe. We know what we're doing. We take all the precautions, you know, we've already mapped out stuff. And I have no doubt that they have, but still it comes back on me and my conscience. If you were to get hurt, how awful that would be. And so that's something I think that maybe hunters have a hard time understanding, is it's a conscious thing on us. It's like, we understand that you're safe and you're trying to do all the right things. And, you know, you've done all the safety programs, but still it does come down to us just worrying. And so maybe that's something that kind of gets mistranslated in between, is we really are just worried. And it can come off, like Levi said, is, well, we don't want you here, or, you know, we already got people and stop asking me. It really doesn't come down to that. It just comes down to sometimes the overall stress it can cause somebody else other than your family being on your property. And especially if you do have livestock, or you have, you know, dogs, whatever it may be, there's always that too, because you just never know. Animals are animals. And sometimes for hunting, you know, you'll have to go through a pasture with cattle that has a bull in it, or you have a dog that maybe doesn't like kids that kind of roamed out. They found these people and they roamed out to the field. So it's all those little things that kind of add up that you're always like, okay, do I have this set in place? Do I have, you know, an animal that might be a little on the aggressive side? Did I make sure that they're not going into that pasture? And did I move this piece of equipment? And oh, there was a hole in that field. Did I tell them about that so nobody twists an ankle? It's just, there's so much going into letting somebody on your property these days. And it all comes back to safety. And I think sometimes that just, they don't see that side of it. They see how, you know, they're good stewards of the land and they're great hunters and safe and all of that, but they don't quite see the other side, where if something were to happen, how that landowner feels and takes responsibility for everything that happens.
Yeah, that makes sense. And Alicia, I know that, you know, I'm kind of surprised that there's not more people that are charging for the platform to hunt on there. But, you know, I think that, you know, I view this as, you know, despite what they might say about subsidies, you know, there's always, it's really important to figure out how to provide more revenue for farmers. So how can you provide more diversified income for them? So I see that as a good piece of this. And maybe Alicia just would love your thoughts on kind of that business model where this seems to be very farmer centric, where it's not a subscription fee. It's not, you know, it's not an exorbitant amount that they're charged taking off the top of it. Just would love your thoughts on that.
I was actually very surprised when Levi said the dollar amount and how many people are not putting any costs out there. That really surprised me. I for sure thought it would be more. So when Levi said that, that caught me off guard because I figured for sure people would jump right on that. And not that going back to the greedy thing, but you think about when you let somebody on your property. I mean, we're talking about fixing ruts from vehicles, especially if there was rain involved. We're talking about picking up garbage, fixing fence. That's the big thing, and that probably irritates me the most because we do have cattle. And so getting your fence cut and having livestock out and having to chase after it is probably the number one pet peeve of ranchers in North Dakota. And you're not just talking about a pet peeve, you're talking about safety, and then you're talking about money with fixing fence and the time that goes into it. So honestly, I was very surprised at the lack of people charging, which, I mean, that just goes to show you the type of people that farmers and ranchers are, because a lot of times, I bet 95% of farmers and ranchers are hunters or have family members that hunt. I mean, I grew up hunting. It's a wonderful experience. You have so many memories, and I think that's why people get, get a little in tune with, why can't we be out there and why do we have to go through this process? Because they think of just hunting as memories and it's family time and it's remembering the first buck you shot and seeing the sunset or the sunrise, and they have all these wonderful memories, which is great because a lot of us do, but we also have to remember the safety part of it. And making sure that we're kind of doing it in the correct order. I would say, and I remember the one big thing, we have land by the Red River. And it was just really sad to see when you would let people out there and they would leave their garbage. And number one, it's never fun to pick up somebody else's garbage. But just the fact that they didn't care. They didn't care to bring their garbage with them or to throw it in a proper dumpster. They were out there hunting and give you the whole spiel of how they care about the land and the animals and it's a family affair. And then they leave their garbage. It's kind of a little slap in the face.
Levi, why do you think it is more are charging? Is it just the people that are on there? They want to make it easy to hunt? What's your thoughts?
Yeah, I think a lot of our customers and the conversations we've had, and they testified on it in Bismarck during the legislative sessions, that most guys just want to know who's on their property. They want to know who's on it and when. And if something like a fence does get cut, they want to be able to track, okay, this guy named, Andrew Jason was on my property last week. And so they want to be able to track it. And we do have, we've got a customer west of Valley City who signed up one quarter with us to try. And he called and signed up another one. And so now he's got two quarters west of Valley City. But what he does is he's got a lot of friends that like to hunt. And so he wants to see, oh, my buddy Andrew Jason has just requested to hunt, approve. If it's somebody that he doesn't know or hasn't met in person, then he presses deny. And then they go on to the next piece of ground. But I don't know if farmers are really doing it because of the money. It's more, she's right. NDSU's got a lot of studies about, what ruts in fields cost farmers. And whether it's high school kids and screwing around and tearing up your fields in a wet spring, it's astronomical when you start adding up what that could do to a quarter of ground. If it's $6 to $8 an acre, do that times 100. And so there is some frustrations that go along with farming. And I don't know if people fully understand that when they are accessing somebody's private property to do so. And again, if we can bridge the communication gap and start building better relationships, then maybe you're going to be that guy that scans a sign and gets approved because you've now built a relationship over the years because you've been respectful on his property. And he notices that every time you come here, he's been happy with you.
Yeah, that makes sense. Well, and the other thing I'm curious about, so I grew up hunting in northern Minnesota here, but I don't have any kind of contacts or know anybody in North Dakota for hunting. You know, I have a 2-year-old, so thinking about how to like start getting eventually her interested in the sport. And what I like is that this, you know, the system's really easy to use. It's very uncomfortable, especially for millennials like myself, to like go out and make these calls and like find. And so I think like easing that system and then like helping this, I see this as a path for like kind of, I don't know, democratizing is the right word, but just breaking down that barrier to get out onto these lands. And this comes out very front and center. These are farmers that have land that are willing to let you on it. Here's how you contact it. So.
Yeah, I appreciate that. When we started this out, my brother-in-law, who's my business partner, he's the developer of everything. We grew up in Devil's Lake, the two of us, and we hunted just like you guys, and friends with farmers, friends with hunters. Of course, Devil's Lake is probably the waterfall mecca of hunting, and listening to our farm friends as we grew up complain about all the hunters are coming. Of course, we never had trouble finding anywhere to hunt. But then as we got older, you know, Kyle kept calling. He's like, dude, our friends are like angry. And we'd laugh, and I'd explain to him what these posting bills were here and what was going on. And him and my sister finally moved back to North Dakota. And then we started really, really seeing the conversations going. And he said, you got to be able to fix this somehow. And the first thing we developed was almost like a hotel software, because that's more of what I was familiar with my past career. But we got too in the weeds. And so we scrapped it and we said, we got to make this, you know, keep it simple, stupid, or whatever the term is. And we need it easy, easy, easy. Well, then during COVID, when they took the menus away from restaurants, we had been happened to be sitting next to a table that just walked in, and they were grandmas. And they got out their phones and they scanned the QR code on the table, and they didn't have any problem picking up the menu. And we looked at each other, and he gives me credit, but I'm pretty sure it was him that said, hey, let's put a QR code on a post-it sign. And that's where it kicked off. And so we've been live October 1st, 2020 is when we went live. So we're 2.5 years into this, just about 100,000 acres posted, 110 customers. So it's just, we just try to keep it simple. And, you know, you ask people for their opinion, it's kind of funny. They don't always give it to you, which, you know, if you said, Levi, give me your honest opinion about this, I'm giving it to you. But I ask guys all the time, I'm like, what do you like? What don't you like? Oh, I like it. I'm like,
yeah,
that's not helping me make it better. So
it's the old Henry Ford quote that if he asked his customers what they wanted, they would have said a faster horse, right?
Right, right, that's right.
So, one of the things I'm curious about, as, you know, Alicia, I'm sure you can attest to this, one of the things I hear farmers complain about all the time is the number of different software, different platforms, programs that they have to use. So maybe from a farmer perspective, what's the ease of this? And then, you know, why is that important to keep it simple, stupid?
Right. Well, I am probably like your 70-year-old farmer man, because I am not a technology person. That's why I laugh that I'm on this podcast. But you ask anyone I work with, like you ask me to do a PowerPoint, no. But I can turn on a computer, I can text on my phone, make a phone call, and that's really the extent. And everybody laughs at me. I mean, I just learned how to use Venmo, like, I don't even know, like maybe a year ago, because I was forced to because nobody wanted to take my check. And it was just this whole thing. But I definitely am an old soul when it comes to technology. But when it comes to this, and so I've been on Levi's website and I've looked up land and downloaded the app, and I will attest that even I can do it. And if I can, I promise you anybody can, because I am like the most hesitant when it comes to technology, and always there's just always something new and different, and it seems like there's always a problem. But I love this because it was very simple, and for the sheer fact of 3 years ago in one day, and mind you, I do work from home and on the road, so this particular day I was home and I had 11 different, and mind you, we also live in Goose Country, and I had 11 different people knock on my door to hunt geese. And at the end of the day, I was like, what just happened? Like, I didn't do anything, but I felt like answer the door and have conversations with people and tell them no, tell them this is a different person. They don't want me to give out their number. And I just spent all day answering questions from hunters. And I was just like, I can't do this. Like, I'm going to have to not answer the door because I wasn't even able to get any work done, which kudos to them for coming to the door and asking. But I repeated myself 15 different times. And I'm sure they don't like stopping either. It's an awkward conversation you usually have to have. And half the time they were asking about land that wasn't, because in our backyard is kind of where they want to go. Well, we don't even own that land, but we're the closest farmstead to it. So, of course, that's where you would come. So then that got frustrating, telling them that I don't even own that land and the person who has it doesn't want me to give out their contact information. And so when I heard about this and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is going to limit so many goose hunters on my place. I don't even know how many had stopped that year, probably over 60. But that was the most that I had in one day. And again, I do applaud them for coming and asking, but it's exhausting. It takes up your whole day. And so just being able for both sides, for them to just scan this code and get an answer like that. I mean, everybody's time's precious. We're always in a time crunch, rushing from place to place. And so what better way than to go up, snap a picture, and know whether it's a yes or no, and move on with your day. So I am all in favor of it. And I've been on the website, like I said, very easy to navigate. And I love that there's, what is there, Levi? Like two or three tabs you can click on, and that's it. Like, the website is extremely simple and easy.
Yep. Yep. You go in, post my land, put in the entity. It uploads it, you order your signs, and rock and roll. Put in your phone number, or you can actually choose to be notified by email. The hunter doesn't get your phone number. It all goes through us. So you get a text, Andrew, when you scan the sign, when a hunter scans a sign, you receive a text saying, let's say you call it Grandma Johnson's quarter. Well, Grandma Johnson's quarter has just been scanned. And then all of a sudden comes the request. You can choose to approve or deny, or you can set them autonomously and let them automatically reply yes or no. And if they automatically reply yes, you get the liability waiver signed. It comes in with their name and it sits in the account. So now you know who hunted there. Or they scan it and you don't want anybody to hunt. You know, Alicia doesn't want to field them all day. It just says, sorry, we're not taking hunting requests at this time. And let's say your kids are at NDSU or the U of M and they want to bring their friends back and hunt next weekend. You can go into your system and block off the days that they're going to be here and to make sure that they've got the land to hunt on that they want. And those days are blocked off and more hunters can show up next week and start hunting again. So...
Yeah, well, that's great. And I think, you know, you mentioned a little bit about the data is valuable, but one of the things that I see from a lot of ag tech startups and ag tech just in general is that, you know, I think they're so focused on like this mass amount of data, collecting all of this, organizing it, that it becomes so overly complicated, not user friendly. So I love the KISS model. Keep it simple, stupid.
We just, it... It has to be, because you brought it up to her earlier, talking about the technology that they get towards the farm. I mean, if she's got cows, how many different things are out there that you want to tell them how to raise better cows? And then you've got, you know, your John Deere, and then you, with John Deere case, then you've got to get upload your new software, right? And then everything's on your phone, and you got a weather app, you've got all these things going on. Then the hunter comes and knocks on your door, and you're frustrated because your shoddy internet, and you're trying to get your new maps uploaded. That's how you get told no, right? And that's what people don't understand. The Milner guy is an example. Was out in the field. They had broke down. They're trying to move equipment. His phone keeps ringing. He, you know, just presses ignore while the hunter goes to his farm and knocks on the front door. And his wife is feeding their kids. So she finally goes to the front door to see who it is. There's nobody there. She goes back to the kitchen. The guy's knocking on the patio. It's probably a good thing she didn't have a gun, because she would have been so scared she would have fired right through that patio door. But that was what caused him to sign up his entire farm with QR posts. He was done with it. He said, every time that somebody asked me, I seem to be mad. Working on equipment, you know, you're combining and wire or something gets tangled in your header. And there's just the most inopportune times is when they feel their questions are coming or the requests. And now it just, it's here, text, boom. Yeah, go ahead. Or no, because I'm going to be harvesting that in the morning, right? And that's another thing people don't fully understand. Nobody wants to be shot at while they're farming the field next door, right?
You hit that spot on the head, Levi. Like, that's, if there was anything I could say about it, it's they're asking at the most inopportune times. And when you're in a bad mood, when the cows are out, when the equipment broke down, when you get a bad phone call about whatever it is, and then somebody's asking you to hunt, and you're like, heck no, I don't even have time for this right now. I would say that is like the biggest thing.
Yeah, and it ties right back into your original statement about safety and worrying about people being out there and if everything's going good. You know, not only do you have your family to feed, you've got every farmhand, and they have to go to their families. It's a multi-million dollar business, and people are coming to recreate. You're trying to accommodate as many people as possible, but it does get overwhelming, and that's why we created QR posts.
Yeah. Well, that's great. I mean, you saw a challenge, you made it simple, and now you got this multi-sided marketplace that is getting the great adoption. So kudos to you. You know, as we're about to wrap up here, maybe I'll just turn it over to you, Levi, and then you, Alicia, just for kind of any some closing thoughts.
Well, I encourage farmers to at least give us a shot. You know, if it's one field, you want to try one field, maybe you'll like it and do another one. Some guys are charging, as I said, partially just to pay for the signs. Some guys don't, but again, it's all preference, and we want the farmers to choose. We want you to choose how you're communicated with. If you want somebody to call you, put your name in the or your phone number in the notes. But it's your property. It's your choice. The easier we make the communication process, I think the better off it's going to be for hunters ultimately, and then the mental health of the farmer. So as long as people try it, just give us one little shot, we don't think you'll be too upset.
Great. And Alicia, we'll turn it over to you for kind of any closing thoughts here.
Yeah, thanks for having us. It's been a great conversation. And like we've kind of talked about, this is to benefit both sides. It's for the hunter and the landowner. And like we kind of stated before, most landowners are hunters and they enjoy hunting. And we all appreciate the understanding of wildlife and the ecosystem. And there really is no other outdoor activity like there is hunting. I mean, it's amazing. And in North Dakota, we have so many different varieties where we can go hunting. And so it makes it awesome to live here. But we do have to remember to respect people and to put people's safety as number one. And so I do hope more people sign up for this and make it easier for both sides of the parties. And I do kind of want to backtrack when I was talking about, you know, fixing ruts and picking up garbage, because 95% of hunters are great and they're very respectful. But just like anything, it's those that small percentage of people that do have to ruin it, and it makes it really frustrating. So I did want to go back, because then I kind of felt bad about saying it, because most of them are great and great to work with, and I do appreciate the direct contact and asking. But it's exhausting, and in this fast-paced world we now live in, what easier way for both sides of the party to get what they want. And so I'm really excited to see where QR Post goes in the future.
Yeah, well, absolutely. Well, thank you, Levi. Thank you, Alicia, for coming here. Really appreciate it.
You bet. Thanks.
Appreciate the opportunity.
And that will wrap up this month's episode of Grand Farmer. Thanks to Levi and Alicia for joining us today as we talk about how QR Post is helping improve the communication between landowners and hunters. Again, I'm Andrew Jason with Grand Farm. If you're interested in learning more about Grand Farm and the work that we're doing, I invite you to go to grandfarm.com. We'll also be having monthly field days out at our site in Castleton, North Dakota. So we encourage you to come out and attend one of our events or join us for our large Autonomous Nation conference on Tuesday, August 29th, to learn about how autonomy is really going to be kind of reshaping this world. So thanks for joining us and have a good one.